Weekend Breakfast on 702. Let's walk the talk.
I was talking to a friend of mine who works for Discovery, and he was just saying how prolific cancer has become, how many people have it, how many people are suffering from it. And it's just quite staggering, the increase in cancer cases across the country. And we were just wondering what's behind it. We're seeing a lot of pancreatic cancer. And the good news is, though, there is a test that can now be done in the doctor's office. All you need to do is blow into a bag and you can be tested. And that can obviously expedite any sort of process, the cancer process, because it's all about identifying early. Let's bring in the CEO of Proactive Health Solutions, Dr. Fundile Nyati. Very good morning to you.
Good morning, Jane, and good morning to all of the 702 listeners.
Isn't it wonderful when something comes through that actually makes a difference in the medical fraternity? And I know that there are many changes happening, many incredible developments, but this is quite a good one.
Yes, you're very right. You know, today we're talking about pancreatic cancer. Now, this is one of the very, very deadly cancers that are known to men. And the reason is simply that by the time it is diagnosed, it is normally, you know, at a time where it's already spread, to organs in the abdomen and even far away from the abdomen, like the lungs and the liver. So researchers have been looking for that one thing that could help them to early detect this cancer because of how deadly it is. The researchers at Imperial College in London, Dr. Chris McDonald and his team, they have come up with a very simple test that looks for specific molecules that are produced by cancer cells in the pancreas. And so by blowing into that, a testing machine or bag, as you call it, in the 64 patients that they were researching who already had been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, it was able to get 84% of those people correctly. So it is something that is a big, big, big promise. But like all things in medicine, 64 patients is a small number of people. So it now needs to be expanded, that is the research, expanded beyond the UK to different parts of the world so that by the time it is a standard diagnostic tool, then, there is enough research behind it. But it is something that is creating a lot of excitement and optimism that at last there is a test that can diagnose people early, simply enough that you don't need to go to specialized centers, especially in a place like South Africa, where specialized care is a challenge for the majority of the people.
Mm. Now, when something like this happens, I mean, is there a timeline? Can we say within 5 years it'll be accessible to all? Proven, 100% success rate. What can we expect?
Well, yeah, this is a problem with scientific research, that it takes time. But, I mean, for them to publish this at the, in the British Journal of Surgery, which is one of the respected journals in medicine, it tells us that it's a matter of time. I would say certainly in less than 5 years from now, this should be available across the world. But they want to make sure that they cross those T's because what they don't want is to be seen to have given false hope, and maybe that works in certain populations and it doesn't work in other populations.
Mm. All right. So while we wait for this to hit our shores, what should people do? It affects men and women the same, apparently. What sort of symptoms should we be looking out for?
Yeah. So in terms of, the gender prevalence, men are slightly more affected than women.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is partly related to some of the risk factors you know, that are associated with this cancer. So I think just to give a mental picture to people about, you know, this organ. So this organ called the pancreas is one of the very important small organs of, you know, within the body. It is, you know, described, it's about 15 centimeter long, and it is described as something that looks like a pear, you know, the fruit, the pear, you know, that is lying on its side with a bigger side, and then slowly it gets to like the smaller side of it. So the bigger side is called the head, then it's got the body, which is the middle part of it, and the tail. Now, this organ sits in a strategic area just, you know, below the lower part of the stomach, and next to the first part of the small intestines called the duodenum, duodenum, you know, and at the back, you know, just behind it is the is actually the vertebral, you know, column. So it is in that area, and the difficulty obviously is the fact that most of these they happen, you know, in that in the, you know, the body and also the tail. So by the time it is discovered, you know, usually it has spread outside of that organ. So what are the symptoms then? In the early stages, painless, no symptoms at all. By the time people have symptoms, and these are the symptoms, there may be pain, you know, in that V area where, you know, the ribs, you know, we call it epigastric area, you know, and that is the upper abdomen. There may be pain there, and that pain may radiate to the back because it is sitting on top of the vertebral column. Two, there may be what we call jaundice, that is the yellowing of the eyes and the skin, because often it blocks the bile duct that takes a bile from the liver to the intestine, so leading to jaundice. There may be a change in the stools, whereby the stools become lighter than usual, and the urine may become darker than usual. And in some cases, somebody may be newly diagnosed with diabetes, and yet you find that this is not a typical person to have type 2 diabetes in terms of obesity. So when you've got newly diagnosed diabetes with a normal body mass index, there's a high index of suspicion about this. But also in people with a problem of obesity, we tend to see this. So also general fatigue, you know, or tiredness. But these are non-specific in the main, you know, so the abdominal pain, the jaundice are the two things that I think one should worry about, and obviously change in the urine and change in the stools. So those are the symptoms that normally alert one that there is possibly a problem.
Okay, just a reminder to the listeners, somebody's been trying to get in touch with us and they want to know what our WhatsApp number is. It's 072-702-1702. You can get in touch with us that way. You can call us on 011-883-0702. And if you want to ask the doctor about your concerns around pancreatic cancer, or if you are suffering from it and you have a story that you can pass on to us, please do get in touch with us. I mean, doctor, once you have been identified with it, what is the most common treatment? How easy is it to access treatment? How effective is it? I guess with anything when it comes to cancer, the sooner you get it, the better.
So, you know, I mentioned earlier that commonly, by the time people are diagnosed with this, at least about 35% of people, by the time they are diagnosed with the pancreatic cancer, it's already spread beyond the pancreas to the rest of the abdomen or even beyond. So that is that is the challenge. Now, obviously, the earlier you diagnose it, the better. How is it diagnosed? You know, there are what we call, you know, a sonar or endoscopic sonar, where they put in a camera through your mouth, through your esophagus, you know, and they can then use that sonar to look at, you know, the architecture of the pancreas. So that's one way. Sometimes may even take a biopsy to see if there are any cancer cells, obviously on somebody who has got the symptoms. In some cases, there's also, you know, what we call cancer markers that we can find in the blood, like something called, you know, it's called a CA99-9. But anyway, treatment, if it is still early enough, surgical intervention, that is removal of the cancer, is normally, you know, something that is done. But it's a big operation. We call it a Whipple operation or Whipple procedure, where they remove, let's say, the head of the pancreas, the duodenum, part of the stomach, part of the bile duct. So it's an operation that can only be done on somebody who is still physically strong. Now, many of us will remember that our legend, music legend, Johnny Clegg, is one of the people who succumbed to this type of cancer. And by the time it was diagnosed on him, on the 9th of April 2015, he was in stage 2. Hello?
Yes, we're listening to you.
Yeah, he was in stage 2. You know, and he was able to have that Whipple procedure. And within 9 months, you know, he was in remission, you know, after undergoing chemotherapy following the surgery. However, we know that a year later it continued, and he eventually succumbed to it. So the five-year survival rate for this type of cancer, despite, you know, surgical intervention, chemotherapy, radiation therapy, you know, it is very low. 6% of people survive. You know, within a five-year period, that is, are still alive in a five-year period.
Gosh, I mean, that's staggering, isn't it? I mean, is it so deadly?
Exactly, it's the fact that it by the time it is discovered, it's already spread to the lungs, to the liver, other key organs. That is the problem. So with him, it was stage 2, but after he came back from, you know, remission, it moved to stage 4. That is, it was spread to the lungs and other parts of the body. So that is the difficulty, the early spread, and because it invades the blood system, you know, nearby it, it spreads quickly. So you think that you've got stage 2, not knowing that some of the cells have already spread to the other parts of the body. That is the problem. So, but with chemotherapy, radiation therapy, and surgery, a combination of those and early diagnosis, than survival rate. So the excitement about this new test from Imperial College of Imperial College in London is the fact that it will allow for early diagnosis, and when that happens, then the survival rate will be much, much, much better. But at this moment, the survival rate is really, really low, even with treatment, as we know that he underwent all treatments possible. That is Johnny Clegg, may his soul rest in peace. But he still succumbed to the disease within a five-year period from the diagnosis.
Now, you know, I was very lucky to have met Johnny Clegg when we were both much younger, a long time ago.
Yes.
And then I interviewed him when he was not well, but he was he seemed to turn a corner, and he was amazingly positive about his life and, you know, what he still had to achieve. I should imagine that once you've been diagnosed, it's incredibly important to surround yourself by people who are positive, right? I mean, that is such an important tool. And obviously, if you are unfortunate enough to succumb to it, you know, that is a tragedy. But you have to, if possible, try and be as positive as you can. That must be hard.
Yeah, in fact, Johnny Clegg, you know, if he could speak Zulu fluently, he said, somebody must have inkani yempilo. In English, determination to fight on for your health. You know, you can't just give in. So he was very positive. I mean, he still went around and did his concerts throughout the world, despite the fact that he knew that he was in, you know, stage 4 of the cancer. So the point is, your mindset, the positivity, the support system around you, but also just, you know, having that zeal to live despite, you know, knowing that the diagnosis itself is not a very, very good diagnosis. Yeah.
Why do you think cancer is on the rise in South Africa? What is happening there?
Well, I don't think it's a South African situation only. We are now, when I say we, the medical fraternity is starting to see the downside, you know, of what happened during the COVID pandemic. So there's a study that was done by Discovery Health that showed that people did not do the screening that they normally do, in, you know, for lifestyle diseases, including cancers. So people were afraid to go for their pap smears. People were afraid to go for their mammograms because they worried that in those health facilities they may get infected. So what we're seeing then that people who would have been diagnosed a little early during 2020 or 2021 are now presenting in stage 3 and stage 4 of various cancers. And so that is becoming a problem. But also those who are already diagnosed, their procedures needed to be postponed in favor of dealing with COVID-19. And so the interventions are now late and therefore the outcomes are not so great. So I think we need to understand that it's a global phenomenon. And in South Africa, with limited, you know, specialized skills, and in situations where, you know, we really put everything aside, focusing to, you know, on COVID, immunization, cancer screening, cancer interventions, you know, they actually lagged behind, and we are now seeing that. And Discovery, you know, is one of those organizations with very good scientific data, and they are picking this up and being the biggest medical aid. What you see as trends with Discovery, it's likely to be the picture across the country. Mm.
Doctor, Peter's on the line from Katlehong. He's got a question for you. Good morning, Peter. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. Morning, Doctor. How are you?
All right, and how are you, sir?
Thanks. Doctor, I just wanted to find out what are the symptoms of this cancer? I mean, yes, the symptoms. Thank you.
Yes. All right. We already mentioned them a little earlier, but let me repeat them. The symptoms of this, you know, deadly cancer are related to the spread of the cancer from the pancreas itself to the nearby organs. So if it spreads to the gallbladder and it's dark, it blocks, you know, the bile, and therefore there's accumulation of bile in the blood system, and therefore you've got yellow eyes and yellow skin. The pain, you know, in the epigastrium, you know, that V area, you know, below the rib, you know, changes in the stool color, becoming lighter than usual, or darkening of the urine, you know, from usual. Those are the symptoms. But others may, if it spreads to the large intestines, then you may have problems with obstruction of the bowel. So you cannot go to the toilet like you used to, or there is blood in the stools, you know, relating to that. If it spreads to the lungs, then you may have problems with pain in the chest, difficulty in breathing. If it goes to the liver, once again, there may be problems relating to the liver. So it depends on where it has spread, but often the early symptoms are non-specific or not there at all, and which is why it's often diagnosed. 35% of people, when they are diagnosed, it's already spread beyond the actual pancreas.
Thank you very much, Doctor. Thanks for explaining. Thank you, Amida. Bye.
Thank you. All right. Yeah.
Bye.
I should imagine it's also important to know what's happening in your family, if it runs in your family, if it's hereditary.
Yes. I think when it comes to risk, you know, there is now established information that, you know, there could be what we call a family history of pancreatic cancer. And if you are coming from that kind of family, then proactively you should talk to your doctor so that they can do, because the cancer genes like the BRCA that we normally see with the breast cancer, so people with that kind of family history, it's important, you know, if one has had a pancreas, that is, a family member has had a pancreatic cancer, to actually be screened for this. So yes, family history of pancreatic cancer, family history of those kind of genes, family history of chronic pancreatitis, you need to be checked out. Otherwise, you know, you may swallow the rest of your family members in terms of succumbing to this disease.
Dr. Fundile Nyati, thanks for always passing on that incredible knowledge that you have on so many topics. This morning we were talking about a breath test, which is out, which is still being researched to diagnose pancreatic cancer. And at this stage, it's been pretty effective. Again, doctor, thank you for your time.